The men are passing out the books, and if you are visiting with us, if this is your first time, if you'd be so kind to give us your name information, we got a special gift that we want to send to you, but if you'd let us know that you are here today, and we would love to be able to connect with you that way. But today we're in the third week of a message series on the prophet Elijah. And you find Elijah in 1 and 2 Kings, and we've talked a lot about him. Actually, the most recorded miracles performed by a person in the Bible is Jesus, but then Elijah is the second to Christ in just the number of miracles that he performed, and just incredible things about this guy and things that God did through him. And if you were here the first week, you know that we burned some plows. We left some stuff behind and didn't turn back. And last week we were digging ditches, talking about doing the work, going and knowing that God is going to provide. He is going to backfill, and we've got to show our faith, but he's going to prove faithful in everything in our lives. And today we're going to grab some jars. We'll unpack that a little bit. Next week we're going to grab our edge back as we look at a story about an axe head that actually fell into a body of water, and by the power of God, he used Elijah to get the edge back. And we're going to look at it metaphorically into our lives. Maybe some of you have lost your spiritual edge. You know, maybe you were on fire at one point, and somewhere along the way, the waters got muddied, and you've just lost your passion, and you've lost the fire. And there was a time when it burned brighter, and I believe next week we'll speak to you in a very strong way. If that's you, and you say, I want to feel that connection, but I feel like I've drifted, next week's going to be for you. And I hope that today ministers to you, to everybody. But I believe to those of you, if you're here today, and you're feeling overwhelmed, there's a lot on your plate. I know many of us are this way. We've got a lot of things going, a lot of moving pieces, and if you've got, you know, young children, or even if you've got grandchildren, and you're running here and running there, and jobs, and all these things that are part of our lives that we're trying to, we've got crowded schedules, and you're just feeling overwhelmed, you feel like there's too much going on, you're in need right now, maybe you don't have enough of something. If I just had a little of this, or if I just had a little of that, or you don't have enough energy, maybe not enough time, or you're really low on faith, I'm praying that today's message will build your faith and bolster that up and minister to you in your time of need. So if you find yourself today on empty, if you find yourself running on empty. John, is that me? Okay. Well, if you find yourself, say that the third time. If you find yourself running on empty, and there's just too much in one area of life or another, it's my prayer that God will use this text today, this story that we're going to dive into to be life-changing. So we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in front of you. It's on page 251 of those Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible at home, you take that Bible home with you. It's yours. It's considered a gift from us to you. But 251 on those Bibles. But 2 Kings chapter 4 is where we're going to be. But before we dive in too much, let's go to God one last time. Father, as we just prepare our hearts to look at your word this morning, as we prepare our souls to receive this nourishment from you, I pray that you would just help us to see clearly. I pray that you would give us eyes that are ready to look at what you want to reveal, and hearts that are ready and softened to receive a word from you today. Lord, may it challenge us, may it encourage us, may it comfort us, and may it draw us closer to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. Starting, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 at the beginning. Here's how it begins. It says that the wife of a man from the company of the prophets, so these are the other preachers in town, the other guys that are out there proclaiming God and his ways, the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." This woman who's saying, my husband has died. "And you know that he has revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." And Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she answered, "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Your servant has nothing there at all except for a small jar of oil. Now, let's talk about these two verses because there's actually a lot in them that we need to understand. The first thing you'll notice, we don't even know this poor woman's name. This widow, this woman that's lost her husband, we don't know who she is, but according to Jewish tradition, many believe that she was actually the wife of the prophet Obadiah. You know that book in the Old Testament. So traditionally, and many theologians would agree, that this is probably, most likely, Obadiah's wife. And so if this is the case, it would be no wonder that she was in financial need. Because Obadiah was known for protecting and providing for other prophets. They say as many as 50 other prophets. He was financially supporting them and taking care of them and their families. And so if this was Obadiah's wife, he would have taken all the resources that they had to meet the needs of the other prophets. And quite honestly, it wouldn't be uncommon for prophets' families to struggle financially. They're running from place to place, many times persecuted or run out, and they spend the majority of their lives running, trying to survive. Very difficult to make ends meet. And so there would be a big need there. So you picture this. Now we've got this widow whose husband was giving all that they had to provide for these other prophets. He's died now. She's maybe in her early, mid-30s, probably about that age. And she's just lost her husband. And in this culture, she doesn't, as a woman, she doesn't have any really good opportunities for employment. Because women didn't work that much, and there weren't many opportunities provided for women. So she's in a really devastating place. A really devastating place. She's lost her husband. Now the creditor they owe money to is coming and saying, I'm going to take your two boys as my slaves. And they'll work for me, and I, you know, they'll be slaves for me. If you can't pay your debts, I'll take them on until, you know, I choose to release them. Or maybe it's the year of Jubilee or whatever. So it doesn't get any worse than this, humanly speaking. She's in a destitute place. No husband, no job. Now they're coming to take my sons. Doesn't get any worse than that. Now, you know, and I think about problems and the things that I get riled up about, because as hard as I try not to get upset about the little things in life, I always catch myself. I try to keep it in perspective, but, you know, how many times, and there's like low-level problems, you know, like doesn't really matter problems. Like the other day, I'm trying to get to a place. I was looking for this store that I really wanted to go to, and my iPhone took me somewhere else. And I found myself getting really angry about this. Like, you stupid thing. And you just think like, wait a minute, why am I yelling at this inanimate? Well, it's not actually inanimate because it talks to me, but it's still, you know, I'm getting upset. I can feel my blood pressure rising. And you know, some of us, you know, you get upset, you know, if you only got like 6 likes on your selfie, you know, you wonder why isn't everybody commenting and telling me how beautiful I am or whatever, you know, or that's a low-level problem. You know, low-level problem. You go to the restaurant and they screw up your order. Well, kind of a low-level problem. Really doesn't make a big difference. That's not what we're talking about with this woman. And the reality is many of you today, you don't have low-level problems. You got some high graduate level stuff going on in your life. There's some serious needs and serious problems, and your marriage may be barely hanging on by a thread. Just barely hanging in there. You don't know how you're going to make it. Or someone that you love just betrayed you, lied to you. You thought you had this, and now there's this, and there's this wedge, and you don't know what to do anymore. You got a child that's running in the opposite direction, running, doing all these things that you say, I thought I raised them to be better than this, and what they're making these poor choices, and I can't say anything about it, and you know, I want them to grow up and get beyond this, but it doesn't look good. Or some of you, maybe you're in a financial pinch. A situation that you're just overextended, and maybe there's been job loss or there's been other things that have come into play, and you don't know how am I gonna dig out of this? How are we gonna get beyond this? And so, and some of you, maybe you've gone to the doctor, you know somebody that's been to the doctor, and you get news that you didn't want, and if there's not a miracle from God, we're gonna experience some really difficult days ahead. If you are in significant need today, I want to give you this key thought for this message that I want God to just, and I believe he's going to just drive this into our spirits to build our faith. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down and reflect on it today, this week. Is when you don't have what you really want, when you don't have what you really want, you will discover in that moment that God is what you really need. In that moment in time when you don't have what you feel like you really want, I need this, this is what's going on, this is what I need today. In that moment, you will discover that God is all that you really need. He's going to see you through. Let me say, and this woman in our text today is in significant need. Significant need. She expresses her need to Elijah. And what does he do? Let me tell you what he doesn't do, first off. What he does not do, he doesn't say to her, you know, wow, that's a problem. That stinks. You know, boy, I'm really sorry to hear. He doesn't blow her off. He doesn't say, well, that's a bad deal. I hate to hear that. I'm sorry. And he doesn't say, like, I'll be thinking about you. You know, it kind of cracks me up when people say that, when you say something that's going on in your life. Oh, man, I'll be thinking about you. Like, don't think about me. Pray for me or something, you know, do something or get out your checkbook. That might help, you know, at least get us somewhere, right? Don't just think about me, but do something significant. That's exactly what he does. He makes himself available to her. You see this in verse 2 of 2 Kings 4. Elijah replied to her and he says these five words. He says, how can I help you? How can I help you? Let me tell you, if you want to make a difference in the world, and I believe that God wants us all to, that God has called us to make a difference in the world that we live in, if you want to make a difference, and you want to be filled with joy, and you want to find satisfaction in your spirit, you begin every day by saying, God, I am available to be used by you today. Point me in the right direction. Help me encounter those in need. You know, if there's a need that I can meet, even if I can't directly meet it, help me to be a conduit of ministry to this person. And when somebody at the office says, you know, I've got a problem or I'm going through this or my spouse is driving me crazy or my kid's going off the deep end, what you say, how can I help you? How can I help you? And you make yourself available just like Jesus would. But Elijah, he then says something to her that's very profound. He respects her dignity. He says, tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? In other words, he doesn't say, I'm here with all the answers. You know, I'll just tell you what to do. He's putting it back. He respects her and says, let's start with what you have. Let's start with where you're at right now today. What do you have in your house? What, you know, and let's let God meet your needs through what you have. She replies, your servant has nothing here at all. And it's interesting to me when you're hurting, when you're really going through some really tough stuff in your life and you feel pain, all you can see is what you don't have. You miss the things that are actually there. You just say, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. You miss all the blessings that you have. And this is tough because when we get down and we get discouraged, we get depressed and we're hurting, we're just consumed with what we don't have. You know, if I just had this, you know, I don't have anything and I don't have enough money, so I'll never be happy. I don't have a spouse, so I can't have a meaningful life. I don't have, you know, what I want, so life doesn't matter. It's just, you know, it's all the negativity. It's funny how when you're in need, all you focus on is that, what you don't have, you know, what you think would make you happy. This is exactly where this woman is. She's lost everything. She's lost it all, and all she can see is the gap. She sees the void in her life, and she's asked the question, you know, what do you have? What is there? And this is what I want you to know. We need to stop waiting for what we want and start working with what we have. You look at verse 2, she says this. She says, Elijah says, what do you have in your house? She says, well, nothing there at all except this one thing I do have. It's not much, but this is something that I have. I have a small jar of olive oil. That's what I've got. I don't have anything except this small little thing. Stop waiting for what you want. Start working with what you have. You may say, what good is a small little bottle, a small little jar of olive oil? You know, what's she supposed to do with that? But olive oil is actually incredibly valuable in this time, in this culture, because it was very rare. And it had lots of important uses. It was used in cooking, which is good. It kept lamps burning. So, you know, they of course didn't have electricity, but it would help light the home. It was used as a moisturizer. It kept leather pliable. It kept iron from rusting. It was used as an offering to God. It was used to anoint people and in religious services. It's very valuable, very useful. Lots of uses in this culture. But she didn't have a lot. She just has a little bit. a little bit of this, but we serve a God who specializes in doing a lot with a little. And all through Scripture, you see this again and again in the New Testament. When Jesus had taught to thousands of people, he's got this huge crowd of people that's there, and at the end of the lesson, everybody's hungry. And the disciples say, who's going to feed all these people? What are we going to do about all these people? And everybody says, I don't have any food. I don't have any. This little boy comes up with a little basket, and he says, I don't have a lot, but I've got a little. You know, I got a couple fish. I got a couple loaves of bread here. You know, it's not much. It's my lunch, but this is what I have. And Jesus took that, what he had, and he said, hey, in the hands of the Son of God, a little becomes a lot. And he multiplied and fed the thousands of people that they even had leftovers, lots and lots of leftovers that they packed up, because we serve a God who can do a lot with a little. In the Old Testament, when a whole army is afraid of the Philistines because of one man, because of Goliath, they're scared out of their minds. What does God use? He uses a little bitty shepherd boy that's been hanging out in the fields all of his life with these sheep, but he's got faith the size of a mountain, and he takes a little bitty stone and a sling, and he says, who's going to come up against the army of the living God? And with that one little stone and that one little sling, he says, you know, everybody thinks you're too big to beat, but I serve a God who's more than able to do anything I need, so I'm going to take this guy down. And God uses a little boy with had a lot of faith and a little stone to take this giant down. In the New Testament, Scripture is clear. Jesus says, you got a little bit of faith. You got faith the size of a mustard seed, really small. You can say to this mountain, move from here to there. Be cast into the sea, and you'll have what you ask for. If you just got a little bit of faith, we serve a God who can do a lot with a little. And Elijah says, what do you have in your house? You know, God asked Moses one time, he said, what's that in your hand? What do you have in your hand? It's just a staff. But with that staff, he accomplished mighty things. What's in your house? Notice God never said, what do you want or what do you need? What can I provide to make this happen? What do you have right now? Let's stop waiting for what we want and start working with what we have, because God's given you everything you need. He's given you everything you need to do what he wants you to do. So I want you to write this down and remember that we're going to offer God what you have and trust him to give you what you need. Offer what's available to you. What do you have right now? What's in your wallet? What's in your hand? What's in your house? What is in your life that you say, it's not much, but this is what I have. And God is entrusting that God's going to give you what you need when you use that for his glory. Look at this come true in 2 Kings 4, verses 3 through 7. Elijah says to this woman, she says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. So week one, we burned the plows. Week two, we dug the ditches. Now we're collecting jars. He says, you go get some empty jars. And notice what he says. He says, go ask your neighbors for some empty jars. But don't ask for just a few. I love that. Don't ask for just a few. This is faith in action. This is just like digging the ditches. This is saying, God's going to show up. He's going to provide, even though this doesn't make sense and this sounds like a lot of work and, oh, what's going to happen? I don't know. I don't see it because I'm, you know, all the pieces aren't there yet. But it's saying, no, don't just get a few. Get as many as you can, because God is going to show up. And he says, then once you've done that, then you go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put one to the side. Now, what's going on here? You go get a bunch of jars. All you have is a little bit of oil. You're going to trust God. You're going to pour out what you have, then put that jar aside. God's going to refill. What's happening here? He's going to give you what you need. You keep on pouring. But she has faith. She has faith that God would give her what she needed, and that's what happens in verse 5. It says, she left him, and she shut the door behind her and her sons. Then they brought the jars to her. And as they kept bringing on jars, the Bible says that she kept pouring and pouring and pouring. And when all the jars were full, she says to her son, bring me another one. But he says, there's not another jar left. And then the oil stopped flowing. As long as there was an empty jar, God would fill it. As long as there was faith, as long as there was something available, God would fill it. But when there was no more jars, the oil stops flowing. She went and she told the man of God. He said, here's the good news. This is what it is. He says, He says, go and sell the oil and pay your debts. Your debt's been paid for, and you and your sons can live on what's left. When she offered what little that she had, with faith, God gave her everything that she needed. As long as there was an empty jar, the oil kept flowing. And this is a crazy request when you think about it, to ask her to empty out everything that she had. Just empty it out and trust that God is going to provide what you really needed. But that's how God works. That's how God works, is it not? That's how he works in our lives. We show him our faith. He shows us his faithfulness. We go dig a ditch. We get an empty jar. We show him, this is who I am. This is what I have available. And all this woman could focus on was what she didn't have. I don't have much. I don't have anything, just a little bit of oil. Elijah, on the other hand, was interested in this exception. I don't have anything except. What do you have? What has God blessed you with? It may be small, but what is that? And that became the vessel for God to move. People often excuse themselves from great things. You know, we say, well, you know, I believe that God wants to do this. I believe God wants to transform lives. I believe God wants to work through people. But I don't think he wants to work through me. That's what we'll think. Yeah, I don't think that God wants to use me. I don't think that God can use me for whatever reason, X, Y, Z. And we kind of back out and excuse ourselves, maybe because we say, well, I've got a lack of skills, or I have a lack of resources, or little experience, or whatever. But what we don't realize, that in itself makes you a candidate for the power of God to work through you. Because you have little. Because you don't think that you've been blessed with much. God uses a shepherd's staff to part the Red Sea. He uses 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed multitudes of people. He uses a donkey in Numbers 22 to talk to somebody and save their life. He's always using the small things. One of the greatest strategies of the enemy is to get you to believe that God could not use you. If he can trick you, if he can make you believe in your mind that I cannot be used of God to do anything of any significance, then he's won in your life. He's defeated you. But here's the profound truth you've got to begin embracing today. If you haven't embraced this, if you don't already believe this, you need to begin believing this. That a God who created something out of nothing can also create great out of little. He wants to do great things. At some point, when you take what you have and stop waiting for what you want, but you offer what you have, say, it's not much, God's going to do something special through that. He's going to begin to do special things through that offering when you say, it's not much, but you can have it. Here I am. Use me. He says, go get a bunch of jars. Go get a bunch of jars. Notice what he didn't say, what color. It didn't matter the size, the shape. You know, it doesn't matter what they're made out of. He just says, go get some empty jars. It could just be, you know, just empty butter tubs. Whatever, just go get empty stuff. Or if it's not empty, dump it out and bring empty jars. Just get as many as you can. The only requirement of this jar, doesn't matter the color, doesn't matter the shape, doesn't matter what it's made out of, doesn't matter. The only requirement, it's got to be empty. It could be any kind of jar, but it's got to be empty. He just needs it that way. How does this apply to you? How does this apply to you? He needs empty jars. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the New Testament says this. It says, but we have this treasure. We have this treasure, which is Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in jars of clay. What's that referring to? You know what it is? It's our bodies. It's our bodies. Say, we've got this treasure. We've got this remarkable, incredible thing. We just sang about the Holy Spirit. We've got this remarkable, remarkable treasure in jars of clay, in things that are temporary. We are dirt houses. We are clay pots. That's what we are. We are temporary. These bodies are. He says we have these treasures and jars of clay. God's looking for empty pots. He's looking for empty jars. When we empty ourselves of self, when we empty ourselves of our pride, when we get rid of our own agendas, We empty ourselves of our greed, of our, we come to God totally, totally empty and say, God, I'm giving up on my dreams. I'm giving up on my agenda. I'm giving up on what I thought I wanted for my life. And I'm coming to you and saying, it's not much, but use me. If you can, I'm an empty vessel. I'm empty of myself. And when we come to God totally empty, he fills us with oil. It's been a symbol of the Holy Spirit through Scripture. He fills us, and suddenly you realize that what you don't have, what you thought that you needed, you realize that God was all that you ever needed from the very beginning. He's going to fill you in a way that nothing else ever can, and suddenly he's enough. And he becomes sufficient in every way. And you see that you're weak, but he is your strength. And when you're hurting, he is comforting you. When you're lost, he's guiding you. When you're hungry, he's the bread of life that nourishes you. When you're thirsty, he's the living water. When your life is unstable, he's a rock. And you realize, I don't have what I wanted, but God is what I've needed. God is what I've needed from the very beginning. There's a song I heard on the radio the other day that I just want to read the words of it to you because it really spoke to my heart. It says, what is the measure of a life well lived? If all I can offer seems too small to give, this is a song for the weaker, the poorer, and the so-called failures. Who feels tired and underqualified? Who feels deserted and hung out to dry? This is a song for the broken, the beat up, and the so-called losers. Consider a kingdom in the smallest seed. Consider that giants fall to stones and slings. Consider a child in a manger. Consider the story isn't over. What can be done with what you still have? Little is much when God is in it. And no one can fathom the plans he holds, but little is much when God's in it. He changes the world with the seeds that we sow. Little is much. I don't know what you have to offer today as you examine your life and what God has blessed you with. I don't know where you stand, but I do know this. I do know that God is glorified when he uses the little things that we have to offer. Our little lives, our little temporary lives here on earth, to be used by him. He uses us, and he uses us to bring about his kingdom on the earth. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time in the service where we begin to search our hearts, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to look in and see what are the things that you call us to do. What are the tasks that you call us to? What is it that we have in our hands and our lives, the little bit that we may overlook, the small talent, the small amount of time? Lord, I pray that you would encourage us and empower us today to know that you desire to use what we have when we come to you and say it's all yours. Lord, I know that there are more than enough of us here today, that if even just a few of us, even just a couple of us, had this attitude, that God, I don't have much, but you can have it, and you use me. If just a few of us had that attitude, just the multitudes that would be changed. The things that you would do through us. It's amazing to me that you use just 12 guys, 12 men, to change the course of human history. Or what do you call us to today? What do you want? What do you desire for our lives? I pray you speak to us. Lord, help us to have the faith to trust you with all that we have. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.